In the last 40 years, there has been a dramatic increase in obesity in the United States. Today, over two-thirds of adults are either overweight or obese. Obesity-related conditions include heart disease, strokes, type 2 diabetes, and certain types of cancer, some of the leading causes of preventable death. But there's hope. Stay with us today and we'll share with you valuable resources that you can use to fight this epidemic in your home and in your community. Welcome to Health Go Healthy for Good. I'm Dr. Nerida and I'm honoured to have you as my guest tonight. Go Healthy for Good is live every Monday to Thursday at 7 p.m. Eastern Time. We're also on Facebook and Twitter. If you have questions on health, call us at 855-400-HEALTHY. That's 855-400-4325. Our phone lines are open right now for your calls. If text messaging is your preferred way of communication, then the number for you is 301-960-5144. For the vast majority of individuals, overweight and obesity result from an imbalance of calorie consumption and physical activity. Unhealthy dietary habits and sedentary behavior together account for approximately 300,000 deaths every year in the US alone. However, there is hope. We just need to make some simple changes, but we need to make them now. Today we're going to meet Kerry. I hope her story will inspire you to make those changes. Let's watch the first part of her journey.
Dear Father, we thank you for another day of life, and we ask that you'll go with us on our walk this morning. Amen. I know that there are heavy people on both my father's side and my mother's side, but I remember growing up, I always feared being overweight. You know, I didn't want to be overweight. I was really concerned that if I didn't change things, that I was just an accident waiting to happen with different, what I thought would be different health problems. There was one summer that was particularly hard where we had lost a child that I was carrying, and then my mother died, and then a grandmother, all within 5 weeks. And the weight kind of came on after that because I wasn't handling things well, and food was somewhat of a comfort. My husband's a pastor, and I stand at the door with him every Sabbath as the people are coming out and greet them. And I just was really feeling like I didn't like the way I was looking. My weight had gotten heavier and heavier. So I had prayed to the Lord. I said, I want to be representative of you in every way. And this is one area I don't feel like I am. At least if you look at me, it looks like I'm not. I want to look like I'm healthy, you know?
Joining me today is Dr. John Kelly. Dr. Kelly is a lifestyle medicine specialist and adjunct faculty member of the Loma Linda University School of Medicine in California. Welcome, Dr. Kelly.
Good to be here with you.
Good to have you. Now tell us, what's the difference between overweight and obesity?
Well, actually, the overweight refers to a person whose BMI, or body mass index, is 25, between 25 and 30. At 30, we would consider then this is obesity.
And it goes up from there.
Yeah, it goes up from there. We have morbid obesity, mass, you know, different terms.
So 30 to 40,
we're
yes. getting different classifications. All right. Now, if I was to create a scale for health issues, and say at one end we put cosmetic surgery, mm-hmm. but at the other end we put terminal cancer, where would you put obesity in that line?
Yeah, well, that's amazing. What my answer is going to seem radical, because in reality the data shows that obesity probably contributes to more deaths than cancer. So, but when we look at the effect of obesity, it has an effect on so many different diseases.
Right.
It promotes heart disease, high blood pressure, it increases cancer risk.
And I think we've got a graph there.
Yes, and when we look here at the graphic, we see that this is actually a graph showing the top five ultimate causes or real causes of death. And so instead of heart disease, we see tobacco is the leading contributor to deaths in the United States. This was data published in 2004, so this is fairly recent data. The second leading cause of death is poor diet and lack of physical activity.
Which ultimately would result in
obesity.
Being overweight or obese.
Yes, obesity is a symptom of a poor lifestyle. So when I'm thinking of your continuum from cosmetic surgery to cancer, really obesity contributes to more deaths than cancer kills.
So it's right at that end.
Right there near the top.
And yet most of us don't think about that.
No.
Because it doesn't kill quickly, I guess, like cancer does.
In fact, most people perceive of their weight as more of an appearance thing or the way we look more than having to do so much with our health. Sometimes there's a disconnect. But as public preventive medicine, public health professional, this is a key. This is probably the most important epidemic we have.
Now, Carrie, in our story, she thought that she was set up for it by her parents. How much is genetics, nature,
yes.
nurture?
Yeah, that's a great question. You know, when I talk about this, I always remind folks, you know, we don't only inherit DNA and chromosomes from our parents, we inherit a lifestyle. For example, almost every married lady is aware that her husband has certain dishes, foods that he learned to like as a child, and she likes to make those for him. And so this is just a little illustration. We do inherit food preferences, lifestyle habits, etc., as well as chromosomes. And so in answering your question, it's interesting. The science of epigenetics is showing us that lifestyle choices can turn on and turn off genes. So I actually would argue that we have more influence from nurture, from our choices, than actually from nature, that which we were born with.
Now, we hear the term obesogenic environment. What can you describe that? What factors comprise an obesogenic environment?
Yes, that's another fairly recent term, actually, obesogenic. It has to do with an environment that promotes obesity, and in particular promotes it in a way that is subconscious, that we our obesity tendencies are subconscious. They often do not reach the level of a conscious choice. For example, watching television, watching screen activity in general, people engage in unmindful, subconscious eating. I mean, if you have food in front of you, I've had it happen to me. I can remember eating while I was watching a movie and sort of having a commercial say, "Where'd all the food go?" And of course, it went in my mouth. So it's
wasn't that the squirrel ran out.
This is an obesogenic environment for many of us. Being in front of a screen with food is an example of an obesogenic environment.
So I hear people refer to mindful eating. So the screen time actually occupies our mind in this direction,
exactly.
And the food is simply coming in the periphery of our minds, but we're just consuming it.
That's correct. And it's interesting. Studies have shown that we enjoy the food much more if we are thinking of it and savoring it than, I mean, you know, you eat while the nibbles, they call them, have the nibbles, and you can eat a lot in a short time. Really. The other thing I wanted to mention, though, about that is that obesogenic environment is multiple dimensions. There has to do with some of the chemicals that we may talk about later that are in the environment. It has also to do with our screen time, not just television, but in our work environment. Many of us are required to be seated at our desks hours on end, and that has been shown to be an independent risk factor for chronic diseases, too.
Now, I think we've focused on the impact in America, but I think we've got a graphic of the world.
And it's a worldwide problem, isn't it?
We're using the term obesity epidemic, but it's almost a pandemic. When we look at this graph,
Yes.
What are we seeing?
You see here, this is the percent of adults who are overweight or obese, and the colors, you can see the little gradient at the bottom, and on the far right is the darkest color. That's over 60%. This graphic, I believe the data on this is about 6 or 7 years old. It's even worse now.
No, this is
it's updated.
I think this is updated.
Oh, wonderful. Yep. So we see here that it's a global epidemic. And what is following obesity are chronic diseases like diabetes, hypertension, heart disease.
So we're seeing 60% of people overweight or obese, and we know that diabetes is just a few years behind these graphs.
Yes.
It's an overwhelming health problem, isn't it?
It is. And we were doing some work in the Marshall Islands where type 2 diabetes is become so prevalent in Micronesia. And you know, I hadn't realized until we did this work that it became so vivid, but type 2 diabetes increases the risk of death from heart disease by about 4 times, almost 400%, and of stroke even more. So it's not just that we're getting diabetes, it's that it's increasing the risk of death from heart disease and other diseases.
Now, we've looked at a global picture, and it just brings to mind, how does culture or peer pressure influence our weight?
Yes, that's an interesting one. It turns out that many people are familiar with the Framingham study. There was a study done in Framingham, Massachusetts, the pioneering work. And recently, they have been able to track now for 3 generations the heart disease in this town and this cohort. And Christakis and Fowler have published pioneering work showing, believe it or not, that the relationship of a mutual friend increases our risk of becoming obese. If a mutual friend became obese in that cohort, there was over 170% increase in the likelihood of the subject becoming obese. And that compares with only about a 40% increase if your spouse became obese. So I tell folks, you know, Facebook is an obesity fomite, a fomite being something, you know, that transmits a disease. So friendships, mutual friendships, are a powerful influence on our lifestyle behaviors.
So we need to choose our friends wisely. We're having a great time today. And remember, we're fighting the obesity epidemic today. So send us your questions. Go healthy for good. We'll be right back. Back. Joining me today in the studio is Dr. John Kelly, a lifestyle medicine specialist. And now joining us through Skype is Dr. Olivia Moses, a professor for health promotion and education from the School of Public Health at the Loma Linda University in California. Welcome, Dr. Moses.
Thank you for having me.
You're welcome. It's great to have you all the way from California. Now tell me, Dr. Moses, I don't know, did you see the story? Carrie had some triggers, and one of her triggers was that she lost 3 people that were very close to her all at the same time, you know, in 1 month. How important is emotional eating, and how do we deal with that?
I think it's a huge issue. We eat for many reasons, and only one of them is actually nourishment. We can eat for comfort. Sometimes we even use food to stay awake if we have jobs that are work long hours. And I think, personally, one of the easiest, quickest comfort things that you can do for yourself is eat those foods that provide you emotional comfort. For that split second, you forget about what is going on and you enjoy what you're putting into your mouth.
So how do we get around that? What's a healthy alternative?
Well, one of the things is to identify that's exactly what you do. A lot of times we do this, and you mentioned this, we eat unconsciously. And a lot of people, when they are stressed out, they find themselves going to their refrigerator at night because they can't sleep. They use food just to feel good about themselves or to even just get away from what they're feeling. So what we have to first identify is, when do these things happen? Do they happen during stress? Do they happen when you are at work, when you're at home? When do these things actually happen? What time of day and for what reasons? And once you can identify them, don't think about taking things away. Try to think about putting something back into your life. So what can I do instead of this? So could it be I take out a book? Using things with your hands helps a lot. So if you knit, start knitting. If you are reading, start reading. Get up and do something, because it's hard to knit and eat at the same time, for example. So do something that actually keeps you busy and gets your mind away from the refrigerator.
Well, that sounds like really good advice. So keep a log to start with. Find out when your at-risk times are and replace. Don't just take away.
Yes. And I think that's a big mistake many people make, is they say, if you take away something, that means I just have to then deal with the feeling. You know, you can actually do something else to make yourself feel better. And so focus on replacing instead of the removing.
Great. Dr. Kelly, we talk about foods that just taste too good to resist. What do we do about those?
Yes.
What's going on there?
Yes, these are called hyperpalatable foods. Foods that actually contain ingredients by design, because food manufacturers are highly motivated to sell their products, and you may be amazed at the amount of research that has been done to find ways to make food more tasty, more palatable. And so we've produced foods that are actually hyperpalatable, in that they produce a response where we will seek out those foods even when we're not hungry, even when we have no need. As Dr. Moses was just saying, and by the way, Olivia, it's nice to see you again, and it's been a while. She and I used to work at Loma Linda together. But as she was saying, this the brain stimulation of these kind of foods produces a pleasure sensation. And as she was saying, an alternative, for example, exercise produces endorphins also. So actually, I find, like she was saying, getting up, doing something, exercise can help replace some of those pleasurable sensations.
So when you have a craving, go and do a little exercise that'll just boost your endorphins.
I think it's a great idea to do a little walk, even if you come back and do the knitting she's talking about. I think a little activity is very helpful.
Even a 5-minute walk, isn't it? Dr. Moses, eating is associated with socializing. We eat with people. So how do we continue to socialize while still while being wise about what we're eating?
That's a very good question, and it's a challenge for many, many people. If you are very, very serious about weight loss and you are really targeting what you're eating, you have to also look at who you're eating with. Is it family members? If you come from a culture where you don't serve your own plate, they serve it for you. If you get together with friends where your biggest thing that you do together is have lunch, these are the situations you really have to analyze. Right now in the United States, we have many restaurants that you can look up nutritional information on. So what a good thing is go out to eat. You don't want to remove yourself from all of these social situations, but go in prepared. Look at the menu, maybe online, or you can actually ask for nutritional information when you get to the restaurant, and know what you're going to order. So you have something in front of you, and you know exactly what you're going to eat. Because what sometimes happens, you see the menu, and then you want to order whatever it is that you see there. So if you go in and you know exactly what you're going to order anyway, You don't have to have that choice. Another thing that can help, especially in a family situation, is you take the role of serving other people. So you are the one that actually serves the plates, which is kind of helpful. Another thing that actually can be very, very helpful, and I've noticed with family situations, families do, on the most part, support people getting healthier. So if this is what you're trying to do, really have a conversation with your family and friends and say, I am absolutely serious about this weight loss that I'm trying to make happen in my life. This is what I need from you. And I need for you to not make comments about what I'm eating. Not to always ask me, is that all I'm eating? And also to give me encouragement, saying, oh, you ordered a salad today? Fantastic. Good for you. These are the kinds of things that people you love will absolutely do this for you if you just ask them.
So turn those social challenges into support opportunities. That's great.
Yes, and I also do think that they will jump on board with you. Everyone wants to get healthier. So if you start it, it might be a domino effect, and you can get them on board too.
I like it. Why don't we come back to Carrie's story? Let's see what changes she made. Watch closely.
I know I have to admit to myself that there is a problem, for one thing. I had to be real with the Lord about what's going on. I asked him. You know, that's what started it. I asked him. I said, here's where I am. I don't like this. I believe, you know, this isn't what you want for me and that you will help me. So you're going to have to show me. So as he shows me, I have to be willing to do whatever it is he says. And he said, Carrie, you said you don't eat in between meals, but that's not exactly true. So I said, okay, well, what am I going to do about that?
So I decided to buy some sugar-free gum so that if it was hard and I was tempted, I would chew that instead. I figured 5 calories was way better than, you know, a whole bunch. And then it didn't seem to be hard anymore once I got past a few days of leaving it off. But then my husband, he comes home and he says, you know, I've missed supper the last 3 days in a row because of meetings and stuff, and I never got to come home. I think maybe I'll try 2 meals. And I said, okay. Didn't really think anything of it.
So that meant for 2 weeks, I was eating supper alone. And then it was almost like I feel like I got hit over the head. It finally dawned on me, the light bulb comes on. And it's like, Carrie, out of everybody in the family that could benefit from a 2-meal plan, it's you. I thought, that's true. So I stopped eating supper.
You know, I am so glad that God doesn't show us everything at once, because then it would be overwhelming.
But the walking has really helped.
Since April 15, today is day 251, I haven't missed a day. Every day I've gotten in more than 10,000 steps, 7.5, 8 miles. So I get up early, have a little quiet time with the Lord, and then I go meet Doris, and we walk for an hour and a half.
Sometimes we get carried away and we do 12 to 15. Sometimes she can average, what, 20,000 a day?
Sometimes. I had 18 yesterday.
I want to use the 8 natural laws and work in cooperation with my body.
Let's say it, Carrie. We know it.
Nutrition.
Exercise,
water,
sunshine,
temperance,
air,
rest, and trust in divine power.
When you think about losing weight, you hear all kinds of gimmicks and ways to help you lose weight. It's tempting, you know, you want to get it off, but I have decided that I don't want to do anything that I'm not willing to do. If this is a lifestyle change, then I don't want to do anything that I'm not willing to do for the rest of my life.
Dr. Moses, that sounded very final, to make changes that you're willing to continue for the rest of your life. Is that the reality?
I think that is the absolute reality, and I think one of the big mistakes that we make is that we do things for a short amount of time and don't learn. We use the word long-term. It's not long-term. It's lifelong. You know, you want to do these things for your entire life. And what I think is most important, if you decide that that is what you're going to do, your whole mind changes about the things you're willing to do. You can maybe cut out a whole food group for a short time. However, what is that going to do for a long term? And what, you know, with the people I work with, a lot of times they'll mention, I'm losing the same 20 or 30 pounds every year or every other year. And the reason is because we're looking for the short term. There are no necessarily short-term solutions for weight management. It is lifelong solution that has to emphasize lifestyle change.
Dr. Kelly, do you have any ways that you sell this to your this concept to your patients? Any tricks in the book?
Well, you know, I don't know if they're tricks, but what I try to do is to help people see that actually they're not doing what they actually want to do. So once they're mobilized to say, you know, I really do recognize my lifestyle is not my choice, what I would ideally choose, just like Carrie is saying on the story today. And so then what we do is we encourage them to become accountable in a group, but we use a group intervention for, setting, because, you know, that seems to, we are social people, we're gregarious, we make positive changes in a group better. So,
and we're seeing that with Carrie. She's got a walking buddy.
So I don't know if that's a trick, but I find that very helpful. I can get people to do things in a group that it's harder to get them to do just seeing them one-on-one in the office.
That's true. Dr. Moses, do you have any particular ways that you help people to make that change in their attitude and change their thinking?
One of the biggest things I ask people when I first start working with them is, what makes this time different than any other time that you've tried to lose weight? Especially if you are an individual that has tried to lose weight over and over again, year after year. What makes this particular time different than any other time? Because if this time is not different, it is going to be like every other time, and we're going to be back here again. So one of the things is, we have to think in our mind, what makes this different? What is our motivation, and are we committed for a lifelong change? We can do behaviors for a little while, but if we don't have that mind shift that this is going to be forever, it's going to change back. And so we can start doing the behavior, but the mind has to be with you.
Thank you. And Dr. Moses, thank you so much for being part of our discussion. It's really been a pleasure to have you with us today.
My pleasure. Thank you, too.
Well, in the next segment, we have a delicious dessert recipe for you, and Sean will be giving us some partner exercises, so be sure to find your exercise partner and be ready to work out with us. But first, let's take a look at today's medical news report. The headlines today: get fit in just 6 minutes, Mississippi way out in front, plasticizer linked to childhood obesity, and is the drink the link? Participants in an exercise study were asked to cycle all out for 6 seconds, rest for 1 minute, and repeat it 10 times, and do 3 sessions a week. After just 2 weeks, they were 10% faster in the 10-kilometer time trial at the end compared to the beginning of the study. High-intensity or intermittent training achieves similar results to long-distance endurance training, with less risk of injury and a lot less time investment. Don't believe me? You just try it, but don't stop after 2 weeks. The report by Trust for America's Health and Robert Wood Johnson Foundation gave some sobering predictions this week. If obesity rates continue to follow current trends, more than half the residents in nearly 40 states will be obese in less than 20 years. By 2020, this will cause a tenfold increase in diabetes, cardiovascular disease, hypertension, and arthritis, and a possible 20-fold increase by the year 2030. But the report also found that the thinnest states devour the most fruit and veggies. So let's take personal responsibility for our own health and that of our loved ones let's get into fruits and vegetables. Researchers have found that high levels of the plasticizer, bisphenol A, in the urine of children and teens is associated with obesity. Those with the highest levels were 2 to 4 times as likely to be obese as those with the lowest levels. BPA exposure has been shown to disrupt multiple metabolic mechanisms, and therefore it is plausible that it's contributing to the obesity epidemic. Further studies are needed to identify effects and types of exposure. BPA is a breakdown product of coatings used in food and beverage containers. Reducing the use of plastic and eating less canned food will reduce exposure. 3 studies published in the New England Journal of Medicine this week showed a link between weight and sugary drinks. One study found drinking sugar-sweetened beverages strengthens the relationship between genetic predisposition and obesity. So if obesity runs in your family, it's even more important to avoid drinking sugary drinks. I'm Dr. Nerida McKibben, and that's today's Medical News Report.
As I was reading through The Great Hope, this sentence stood out. All who could read were eager to study the Word of God for themselves. They carried it about with them and read and reread and could not be satisfied until they had committed large portions to memory. One of the great things of the Protestant Reformation, written about in this book, is how the Scripture came to people and was useful to them in their daily lives. That's something that's still true today. God speaks to people through His Word, the Bible, and particularly through His New Testament, which talks about salvation by grace through faith and a wonderful future ahead for those who believe. I draw great inspiration from that, and it's something for which I'm truly thankful.
Here we are in the kitchen again, or should I say in Justin's kitchen.
Welcome.
Thank you. I'm sure today we have got a wonderful recipe that's delicious and full of nutrients.
Yeah, actually today you're going to show us how to make one of your recipes, right?
Oh, well then I'd better swap places.
Okay,
come on.
Okay. No,
yep. Yeah, that's right. Oh, yes. Now, it feels strange over here.
Well, yeah, I don't know. I think I like that side better.
Yeah. I'm sorry. I'm going to steal it from you. Well, today... Do you want to read the ingredients first?
Sure. This is going to be some delicious apricot crisp. 32 ounces of canned apricots. Crisp topping is made from 1 cup of quick oats, three quarter cups wholemeal flour, 1/2 cup unsweetened coconut, 1/2 cup of wheat germ, 1/2 cup of soft brown sugar, and 6 tablespoons of canola oil.
All right, so what we do is, I like apricots. You can actually use all kinds of fruit for this.
So
whatever your favorite.
Like, I love blueberries.
Blueberry. Oh, yeah, it makes a lovely blueberry cobbler type.
Oh,
yeah.
Man.
Some people like apple with cinnamon or nutmeg. Yeah.
So this is a recipe on how to make the topping, and then you can put it over whatever fruit you want?
Exactly.
Okay.
So I usually make a nice big batch because I quite fancy this.
Okay.
And so just put enough, I keep a little bit of juice aside, so drain the fruit, put it in, and then just pour enough juice back that you just almost get to the top of the fruit.
Okay.
So that works that way. And then lots of whole grains in here, so some rolled oats. Yes, quick oats. A little easier on the teeth.
Okay. Yeah, I don't mind chewing.
You don't mind chewing? Yeah, well, now let's see. This is one of my favorite ingredients, coconut.
Mm.
You like coconut too, don't you? Yeah.
In all its forms.
Really?
Yes. Liquid.
It's very hard in America to find unsweetened, desiccated coconut.
Oh, I know. It's all coated with sugar.
It is. It's. You guys, you live in a sad place. Well, I live here now too. I better not be mean about it. So, coconut.
Unsweetened.
Unsweetened coconut. Wheat germ. Lots of vitamin E.
Now, why is it called wheat germ? Aren't germs bad for you?
Not this one.
Okay.
Yeah, these germs are good for you.
Okay.
You know, if you took a wheat grain, you have a lot of it is starch, and then on one corner is the germ. It's got all the nutrients.
Okay.
If you let a mouse loose in a granary, do you know which bit they eat?
You're going to tell me it's the germ.
It's the germ. And okay. They chuck the starch away. What
so
do we do?
They're smarter than
they're
us.
Much smarter than us. What do? We take the starch, we chuck the germ and the husk away.
So the germ is a part of the wheat that's the nutritious.
Got all the nutrients.
That's where it's all at.
It is. Okay. That's where it's at. Some wholemeal flour. So this is all whole grain. And then.
Is that the same as whole wheat flour?
Yes, whole wheat flour. Okay. I'm sorry. And then some brown sugar. Mix that all together.
Using your hands.
Using
your
hands.
The most sophisticated mixing device on the planet.
Yes, bypass the spoon. And then you just make a little well in the middle. It's real basic, you know. Mix the dry ingredients together. Make a well. Pour in the liquid. A little bit of oil. I tend to use something that would take the heat better than olive oil. So canola or rice bran oil. And then this is where you can use a spoon if you don't want to get your hands too sticky.
Problem with using a spoon is that you can't lick your fingers afterwards.
Well, this is true. It's quite a disadvantage, isn't it?
Yeah.
Although I'm not sure that I like raw flour. The coconut's pretty good, though.
Yeah.
Now, I've got only a small bowl of fruit, so it doesn't quite match the topping. But the topping is moist and crumbly. So as you squeeze it together, it sort of holds.
Okay.
So when it's baked,
that's the consistency that you want.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Can you bring that bowl of fruit over and I'll just put some topping on there? Now, you can make it as thick or as thin as you like. Of course, I like it thick.
Yeah.
Not so thick that it's dry, but there we go. And we're going to pop that in the oven.
So this whole thing with the apricots will go in the oven?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, and then we can pop it in there for about 40 minutes on 350, and it'll come. Oh, it smells so good while it's baking. And then you can serve it in the winter with hot custard.
Maybe pour some soy milk over it, some cold soy milk even?
Yeah, oh yes. You have it for breakfast the next morning with some cold soy milk.
Mm.
In this case, we've got some nice Greek yogurt, Greek-style yogurt. And whatever you fancy having. A little moisture is nice on the top.
Sure.
Wow. Well,
please, please tell me it's time to give that a try.
It's time to give that a try. Don't eat it like this. Okay.
Please, please, be my guest.
Oh.
You're in my kitchen.
I am. Now, you realize this is a secret recipe, and now that I've given it to you, I am going to have to shoot you.
Oh.
Because you've got the secret.
Can I at least taste it first?
Yeah. Yeah, then you can die a happy man. I'm having trouble here.
That's amazing.
Isn't it good? It's crunchy and.
Can I just take this with me?
You feel free.
Okay.
I think you're going to need it back there. Yeah.
Okay.
But make sure
this
you pick
incredible.
It out of your teeth.
Right.
I'll shoot you after you finish.
Okay. Yeah. Maybe after we finish the rest of the show.
And I'll be right back. No, in just a moment, we're going to take a look at some really good exercise moves. And Justin's going to go and eat the rest of the apricot crisp.
Yes.
While he's doing that, we've got another ageless advantage spot.
Is the obesity epidemic real or a lot of hype? Data from the National Center for Health Statistics shows that in the year 2000, almost two-thirds of the U.S. population was overweight or obese. Increasing your physical activity is an effective way to lose weight. Swimming, tennis, gardening, and bicycling are all good ways to be active. The epidemic is real. The good news is that you don't have to be a statistic. A physically active life is another ageless advantage.
Sean, our very knowledgeable exercise specialist, is now with us, and we are all ready to get our bods in motion.
So since you had the apricot slice crisp, we're going to work a little bit harder today, okay?
Oh.
So what I want you to do is grab your partner, someone you love, and let's do this together, all
right? Or someone you have to work with.
Yes, and today this is my my lovely assistant, all right? So we're going to turn your back, all right?
Back.
Actually, you know what? Let's warm up. We spoke about dynamic exercises,
yes,
right?
Yes, we did the other
day. So let's make a wide base.
Okay.
We're going to do alternating toe touches. All right? Hands up. And you're going to take your right hand, go to your left foot. Right?
Like okay. This. Right to left.
Yes. Come up and switch. Great way to warm up the core. stretch out your back, the lower back, stretch out the hamstrings, and again, prepare you for movement. That's what dynamic exercises are for, to get your heart rate up a little bit, get the muscles warm, and avoid injury, all right? So we could do that for about 30 seconds or so, all right? And then you could do some butt kicks again, like we did last night, like getting the heel of your sneaker to your butt, just stretching out your quads. All right, now that you're all warmed up, you shake it out a little bit, and then we get to the fun.
Uh-huh. Oh, he's got that wicked look in his eye again.
Yeah, you see it, you see it. All right, so I want you to turn your back. So this is what you and your partner are going to have to team up. Okay, what I want you to do is go back to back, all right?
Yep.
Since Dr. Narada is a little bit shorter than me, right? Just a little bit. Just
much.
A little bit.
Just
I want you
much.
To step forward just a little bit, okay? And I want her to use her core, her quads, and push against my back, all right? All right, and we're going
to
squat down.
Yeah, I get to push on him.
Push on me, push on me, all right? We're going to squat down. Push, push on me. Once you get to about 90 degrees, back up. Now, since she's short, I could put all my weight on her and let her quads do the work. Go down. And we could stay right here for a little bit and have a conversation. Nope.
I think we've
back
got
down, back down,
driver.
Back down. Let's go, let's go. So this is working the quad. All right. Dr. Narada is going to work just a little bit. I could stay here. I could have a conversation. I could stretch.
And I could just and kind she could of just, sit here
her
shaking.
Quads are going to work. All right.
He's
and then back
again
up.
To us.
All right. Oh. Perfect. So then that's a great way to use your partner. Back to back, using the core,
yep.
Exercising your quads. Great,
yeah, because
right?
It worked here.
Yeah, we should have did a couple more.
No, I think not.
You sure? All right.
Yeah,
all right,
I'm
let's
sure.
Get down on our knee. All right, you face me.
All right.
And a great exercise, you and your partner, eye to eye, you go down in the push-up position. All right, we're going to stay on the knee, so you go back just a little bit. And we're going to do a push-up with a clap. All right, so we're going to go down. When we come up, we're going to switch. Give a clap. Back down. Again, partner exercise, a great way to stay motivated. And you can do this for about 60 seconds, working your chest, your arms, and even you could hold the partner's hand and pull them a little bit just for that core to activate a little bit. You felt that, right? Go back down, and up. Perfect. All right, pull. There you go. All right, I don't want to torture it too much.
You're not going to. Okay.
So that's working your chest and your core.
He let us off today.
Yes, I did.
But you keep going.
So the third one, nice fun one, we're going to go on your butt, and I want your feet out this way. Come out a little bit, and go lean back. I'm going to put your hands under your butt, lay back all the way.
All the way?
Yep. And Dr. Narada, what she's going to do is use her lower abdominal area and go around in a circle, okay? Yes. So since she has that apricot crisp, we're going to make her work a little bit. But as a partner, what you could do is come here. You keep going in that direction, okay? And as you go there, I can go here.
Ooh, now I can't stop.
So my legs are bending just a little bit, so you keep going. So you and your partner, you can stay in this, going in this direction for about 60 seconds. And then we're going to switch directions. Switch directions, go. Again, working the lower part of the abdominal area all the way around.
Oh.
All right? Great way to work your abdomen and your core.
Yeah.
All right?
Yeah, because we sometimes forget that our abdominal muscles come in different parts. We just focus on upper and
yeah,
not
you can't
lower,
do that. So. Can't do that. You got to work the top, the bottom, your obliques, and especially your lower back, which encompasses the entire core.
And they're all different exercises.
There you go.
Yeah.
All right, so to cool down, all right, we got a nice wide base. Whenever you finish exercising, take a deep breath, shake it out. Inhale through your nose and exhale. All right, and then go down to the middle. What I want you to do is really try and bring your chest towards your knee. Let's go to the right side and wrap your hands around your ankle. Again, stretching out your quads, stretching out your arm, and just trying to bring it down, all right? And nice and gently go to the opposite side. Okay, hold that ankle, bring your chest towards your knee, and stretch out that hamstring. Another great exercise is come forward, and we could stretch the right calf first. All right?
Why don't I go this way?
There you go. What you want to do, and I'll come down, is make sure that this heel stays all the way down. So then, just like what Dr. Narada just did, she came back a little bit, make sure this entire muscle is stretched out, then switch sides. There you go. Perfect. So a great way to stretch your hamstring and your calves at the same time. And then what you do to come up is you walk your feet to your hands and come up nice and slow. Again, don't rush from this position. The blood was just down.
Won't keep up with you.
You start seeing stars.
Yeah.
All right. So how do you feel?
Good.
Would you want to do some more?
Let's just stretch those quads that you made me work right
sure.
at the start.
There you go. So right
otherwise,
here.
I'll be a cripple tomorrow.
No,
and
you
so
will
you.
Not. No, you will not. It's for the apple crisp. So a great way to work the balance. There you go. Point that knee down, chest up. And relax. Shake it out. One more time. All the way up. Remember, point that knee down. Push your hip forward. Push the hip forward. And there you go. Stretching out your quad. Shake
great.
It out. Great way, especially after you work out and the muscles are tight and tight, you can massage it. Self-massaging helps break up that lactic acid and helps reduce soreness too. So.
Great. Thank you, Sean.
You're very welcome. I'll see you later.
See you next
yes,
time.
Yes.
Well, thanks for posting your comments and questions on our Facebook page. Don't forget, you can call us live. The number is 855-400-HEALTHY. That's 855-400-4325. Oh, don't forget, you can text us anytime. And for text messaging, it's 301-960-5144. We're still taking your health questions on weight management, and I can see some of them coming in. Post a comment on our Facebook page, send us a tweet or text us, and Dr. Kelly will be with me to answer your questions next. Stay right there.
One day in your courts than 1,000 elsewhere. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of the wicked. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord bestows favor and honor. No good thing does he withhold from those whose walk is blameless. Lord Almighty, blessed is the one who trusts in you.
Back to Go Healthy for Good. We're taking more of your health questions and we're especially looking for questions related to weight management. Post your questions and comments on our Facebook page, Go Healthy for Good. You can also send us a tweet or better yet, call us right now. The number is 855-400-HEALTHY. That's 855-400-4325 and I've got Dr. Kelly here to answer your questions. But let's see the end of Kerry's story. She's very honest about how she sees her future and shares with us some insights into her personal motivation for continuing this newly discovered lifestyle.
Two articles of clothing that I kept from when I was my heaviest was the dress that I wore to church every Sabbath and my coat.
And I remember sitting up at a campfire in August at Winyani in this coat, and I could barely get it done off, and I remember thinking, I gotta do something. I don't have any other coat.
I can kind of see all this, you know, inches that I've lost, and it's way to measure. So when I had the 66 pounds off and my daughter was around for the, she'd gotten home from working at summer camp that summer, I said, I think we could both get in this dress. You want to try?
And we did. So we had a couple pictures of us in the dress together, and it was just kind of fun to see how far I had come, that I could actually get another person in there with me. This was the dress that I could then wear, and instead of a 20, it was an 8, and so looked and felt at that time much better, and I still do, and I'm looking forward to seeing it improve even more.
When you walk like that, I have a lot more energy, and I have not had even a cold or anything for, it'll be 2 years, this is December, so in 2 more months, 2 years ago, I had a cold. That was the last cold I had. I wish it hadn't taken as long. This has been a journey. It is a journey, though. I'm not trying to be a stick or anything. I'm just trying to be the right weight for my height and bone structure. And I remember joking with my sister-in-law when I was looking at the chart, when I realized I was no longer obese. I'm going, yay, I'm overweight. I'm overweight. I said that would sound funny to everybody if I'm doing that. But it was such a good feeling, because before, you know, you were so heavy that you're classed obese. So I'm not obese, I'm overweight, and going to get where I'm supposed to be, and then I'm going to stay there because I'm going to do this the rest of my life.
I love how she says, I wish I'd done this before. She's not wishing for chocolate cake or cookies. Mm-hmm. She's just wishing that she'd made the change before and just committed to doing it for the rest of the life.
Yes, hers is a beautiful illustration of someone who made changes for permanence. This is the way she wants to be the rest of her life. Mm. And that's, as we've been saying all along, that's a key ingredient to making this work. The other thing I thought was I really liked that she said is that she's not trying to achieve a certain weight. She's trying to get a healthy lifestyle.
Right, so taking the focus off of weight and just putting it on I live life now.
Yes, yes.
And the she's just dropping sizes. What she really seems to be working at is the exercise.
Yes. You know, it takes both. It takes exercise and food diet changes for most of us. Mm. But you're right, the exercise is so powerful.
Mm.
Yeah.
It is. And there's studies that show that when we exercise, our desire for eating diminishes. In fact, there was a study this week that came out showing that women exercise, and they showed them pictures of food, and their brain response to pictures of food changed because they'd done a few minutes of cycling on a stationary cycle. So it really helps. The exercise helps with both.
Exercise produces those endorphins that have that pleasure center is stimulated in a good way.
Yeah, in a really healthy way, yes. Well, we've got some questions for you. You ready?
Okay.
All right. I want to lose weight, but I've heard it's important to lose fat rather than just weight. How do I maximize my fat loss while preserving muscle?
Well, you know, that's a really good question, and I've had a number of times people who will go into a comprehensive lifestyle change program, such as we do, and they'll be sort of disappointed in the amount of pounds they lose or at the rate they're losing. But when I ask them, well, what's happening to your belt, to your waist, they'll say, well, you know, actually, I'm losing some inches, but not that many pounds. And we don't realize that muscle is heavier than fat. And so you can lose fat and pick up some muscle and not seem to be losing that much weight. So I think that's a great question about how do you do it. And bottom line, I believe, is actually more has to do with the exercise, as we were just saying. You need to be doing some exercising along with the lifestyle changes and build up gradually.
So build muscle. But it's also really important, don't starve yourself. Be sure that you have sufficient food.
Yes.
Otherwise, you really will lose muscle. Well, this one, I've tried every diet out there and lost the weight several times over, but I always gain it back and more. Mm-hmm. What do I do to get lasting results? I'm tired of yo-yoing.
Yeah, well, this is that basic concept we've been talking about, and that is we need to have a lifelong change. We're looking for a change that we're comfortable with, that works for us. It's not a temporary fix. It's not something I'm doing on a short term. And so what I believe that one of the key things, and Carrie mentioned that in her story, is that I tell folks, you know, if you would move supper to breakfast, sounds strange, but what I'm saying is, you know, do you realize that most of us don't realize that the calories that we eat before noon or before 11 in the morning have been shown to be burned and consumed during the day. The ones that we consume after about 8 p.m., they get stored. And when we think about how we are, many people are skipping our breakfast or being, you know, a very small breakfast and a large supper, just turn that around. That is such
So you don't have to have your vegetables for breakfast. You can still have fruit and cereal for breakfast.
Absolutely.
But have your calories, the largest meal of the day, before 11 in the morning.
That's right.
And then have a very light meal in the evening.
Yes, but it's also, and you're right, you don't have to eat your vegetables. But one thing that is really helpful to eat at breakfast with your rest of your breakfast is legumes, beans. A bean dish, and once you get used to this, it's actually quite enjoyable. The first time I did it, it seemed strange. But actually, I really enjoy a nice bean dish with breakfast, and it helps to keep the blood sugars normal, keeps the cholesterol down. It's really, and it helps eliminate some of the nibbles because the protein in the beans really helps to stay with you and give that, so you don't nibble so much.
That's true. You've got good carbohydrates and a good protein source. Hmm. Well, let me see. I've successfully lost 15 pounds, but I can't seem to get the last 5 pounds off. I'm so close, but my goal is always just out of reach. What can I do?
Yes. Well, that's a good one, a good question, and I don't know that I have any magic formulas, but the body does seem to have set points, and our weight loss generally, as you know, is down a bit and then a flat spot and then down a bit, and so we have to stick with it is the key thing I tell folk that are in that situation. Stay with what you're doing. It's obviously working. Let the body reset. Maybe do a little more exercise. If you're not doing any resistance exercise, I encourage doing some resistance exercise. Mm-hmm. And the body will reset and you'll have some. But, of course, when you reach your healthy weight, that's the plateau you want.
Yes, that's right. So be realistic.
Yes.
Here's another question. Is it better to go down to 2 meals a day or smaller portions and 3 or more meals? And Wayne, I think from what we're... That was from Wayne in Maryland. Wayne, I think what we're basically saying here is 2 meals would be good if you can do it. And you saw Carrie did it in her story. If you need that third meal in the evening, just make it light with fruit. And I just want to say thank you, Dr. Kelly, for being with us. Most of us find ourselves in an environment conducive to gaining rather than losing weight. And if we do nothing, we'll drift towards obesity. Make a conscious effort to swim against the current. We've learned that the weight we choose influences the weight of those around us. The time for change is today. Make a commitment right now to make one change. Eliminate sugary drinks. Stop snacking. Exercise 5 days a week. Just one change. And whatever that commitment is, stick to it. And like Carrie, you'll be glad you did it. Tomorrow we've got 2 exciting guests from London. They've got secrets to look better and live longer. We'll see you tomorrow. Thanks for joining us.